John Tamir there joining us. Hey, John, Tenakwe, thanks for joining us today and all the best for the year ahead. What were your initial sort of observations about this hui on Saturday, John? There were numbers that were unprecedented, and the momentum here on Show of Our Rangatahi, undeniable. So what were some of your thoughts from Saturday's hui?
Oh, because I've been around a long time, everything has a context and its own landscape. And what we're starting to see, what treaty settlements did and the way they were engineered was to divide rural iwi amongst themselves and exhaust them and tire them out and beat them up so they signed deals for a very extraordinarily small amount of compensation. So I'll put that to one side. We are coming through the injury that inflicts on our people in terms of the notion of kotahitanga. And then you have that forces iwi to fight over boundaries, et cetera, et cetera, from fishing all the way through to where their actual areas of interest and exclusive interest lay. This has occurred over the last 35 years, and it has it's brutalized our communities in a number of ways. While that has been going on, a huge number of whakapapa iwi have been denied access to that whole process as well. And they're basically mātāwaka peoples in urban areas. There's 250,000 of them here in Tāmaki Makaurau. And so if you look at that landscape in that context, we have to use catalyst events to rebuild our unity in terms of having things where we build bridges to one another rather than burn them down, where we start to rejoice in the diversity of our iwitanga, you know, rather than wallow in its differences. And so what you see over our time and your time, my time, is an evolution towards a kotahitanga. And Kingi Tuheitia, you've got to take your hat off to Waikato Tainui for being able to host an event of that scale. No one else could have. That's just a matter of fact. No one else could have, because they're used to the koromehana and so on and so forth. So firstly, you have to acknowledge the timing of the hui, in response to the legitimacy of what this new government is endeavouring to do to us, solely because over the last 35 to 40 years, over a painful incremental process, we have abided the rule of law at great expense to a number of our elders who have passed away already. We've never seen the light of day on a Aotearoa that treats Māori with equality, still waiting. So, you know, I had to give that context, because context is very important as we build towards a federation in regard to a Māori nationhood, which takes nothing away from your iwitanga, but adds everything towards the common and the common values we share far outpopulate any differences we have, which were microscoped over the fight over treaty settlements, where the Crown got us fighting one another rather than concentrating on the perpetrator of all the problems. So we're now starting to concentrate on the perpetrator of all the problems, and that is a parliament in the hands of a few people that do not have a thumping mandate to overturn where we are heading as a people. And the final thing I'll say is I got out of the hui on Saturday was this building of bridges, this coming together, this not trying to say, I'm a independent and sovereign iwi and I don't need anything to do with the kingitanga, and I don't need anything to do with this, that, or the other. That was not. The kingitanga has never been a movement that is about taking over people. It's about confederating us. And so I'm very supportive of that.
Well, I find it to be a real show of strength, potential, and a disgruntlement in many ways by our young people. You touched on the fact that the last 35 years we've been pitted against each other. This could be to do, and probably mostly, with the tribunal mahi and trying to organise, you know, where the money goes. You touched on iwitanga. And perhaps it's being superseded by rangatahitanga.
Well, you know, the beauty about our rangatahi as they come through, your son's a prime example of it, is that that they come with a refreshing knowledge of themselves. They haven't been as beat up. They haven't been as colonised. You know, as my generation and your generation, and the way in which my father's and your, from Auntie Lally to your mum all the way through, were treated as second-class citizens and had that drilled into them so much that they even started to believe it themselves. Not all of them, because you wouldn't ever think that Auntie Lally would do that, but the point is that not all of them, and that was the beauty about our salvation. So this new rangatahi generation, they are so safe in just thinking, being, speaking Māori, and the strength is that they're bilingual, and the strength is that they are no longer overawed by big Pākehā words, and they can contextualise in tikanga terms what's going on. So it's actually an outstanding rising of our new leadership up and down the country. And the baby boomer leadership, its days are numbered, and really succession planning has to be put in place. And our young ones have to be ushered in because they've just got so many new tools to deploy. But they still need, when the new fish goes, sort of when the new net goes fishing, the old hands still have to be around. But they don't have to be dominating and suffocating. They've got to be supportive and uplifting. And so that's another issue that you've raised, which I think we've missed the ball on and taken our eye off. Because if you look at Hana Maiti, just her opening haka of her maiden speech has had 31 million views. Now, that's sensational for any politician anywhere in the world. But for a little old Aotearoa and one of our youngest MPs ever at 21, that's sensational viewership. That's huge carry. And that's mana Māori motuhake. That's mana Māori in and of itself. And so, you know, we're on the rise. And Saturday showed it. And we're looking to turn back again.
Now, my young panel operator, who you know very well, he says, I says, 31 million hits. That's amazing. He said, well, it could be 3.1 million. So you're standing by 31, John.
Well, look, I'm only as good as what the numbers that I've seen. I can get my own data team over here to do the algorithm, and we are, because Te Pacha Māori's having its post-conference meeting up in Waitangi, or up in Whangarei on the way to Waitangi, on the 4th of February, and so all the numbers will be in by then, and I can confirm that.
I mean, it was impressive, and, you know, it's all about rangatahi, isn't it, John? That's what you and I are working for. That's what our pakeke need to be focused on, and we hear the term our tamariki, our mokopuna. This is what guides us, and I just spoke with Ed Ashby from Kawarau Amaki out there in the west. He was talking about a 1,000-year plan to try and protect the Waitakere Ranges. We have to think long-term, but we're not going to be bullied and pushed around. A couple of quick things. What did you make of the government response, or some might say lack of, to the importance of the hui on Saturday?
Well, like all things, if you see something that worries you and concerns you, you oppose it dramatically, or you ignore it and pretend it never happened. And so they're in the ostrich theory process. So they're burying their heads in the sand, pretending this never happened. But what they know, and what you know, and what I know, is as they trundle toward continuing to just insult us in the land of our own ancestors, they're just not going to be tolerated. And the more that they continue to do that, I'm amazed at the arrogance of Shane Jones. Just totally amazed. David Seymour is either incompetent or corrupt to suggest that the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi have not been defined and enunciated over 35 years of litigation. You see, our constitution works on three levels. First level is executive, that's cabinet, and Second level is the cabinet is kept honest by the legislature, opposition. The third leg of our constitution is the judiciary. And what Seymour is trying to make out is that the judiciary over 35 years have been either stupid, captured, or anti-government. Now, how can one man turn back 35 years of jurisprudence on one of the major legs that upholds the legitimacy of government, called the judiciary? Now, we're not having someone make believe and then speak. It's just a lie what he's saying, right? It just doesn't meet the facts. And so, what he's up to with his little white underbelly, and it is a supremacist group, because you look at the money that funded ACT in New Zealand first, and who it came from the Graham Harts of this world. I've got the whole list, and it'll, on a later date, we'll just start to identify them, because they always come after the Hories like us, you see, particularly the white plate, isn't that? But the point is that we're up and honest and open. They've just been found out. So all I'm saying to you is that, no, you got to call this the way it is. The perpetrators of endeavouring to overturn our legitimacy and our hard-won little wins, we haven't even got there yet because we haven't got equality, and endeavouring to turn it back, you have to look at the case he's put up. It's spurious at best. So either the guy's incompetent or he's corrupt, one of the two.
Well, we'll be finding out, won't we, through 24. There's a hell of a lot going on that needs to be monitored and challenged. And as a people, we're not going to get kicked around as perhaps we have been in the past. JT with us, the leader of Te Pāti Māori. We'll be talking with him regularly Mondays. As always, John, thanks so much.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe.